This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's just about 7:37 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And to wrap up our coverage on World Children's Day, we're following up on a story we've previously discussed, which is the detention of migrant and refugee children. And this issue really speaks to the reason this day exists in the first place, which is the UN's adoption of the Declaration and the Convention on Children's Rights, which outline how the detention of migrant children violates their rights and also urges governments to ensure their freedom. So to recap about the situation here in the country, the Home Ministry has confirmed that 756 children are being kept in detention centres as of October 26. 405 are accompanied by their parents or guardians. So we had Zaid Malik from Lawyers for Liberty on to discuss this. Since then, more NGOs like Human Rights Watch have asked the government to release the children. The Home Ministry, however, has yet to come out with a follow-up statement on the issue. So we wanted to revisit the topic today and look more closely at what it's actually like for the children who are detained. So on the line with us is Heidi Kwa, founder and director of Refuge for the Refugees. Heidi, thank you so much for joining us. What can you share with us about the living environment for children currently held in detention centres?
Yeah, so in a report recently published by the Home Ministry as a written response in Parliament, there are currently about 756 children held in detention centres, out of which 405 of them are detained without parents or guardians. Kids below the age of 12 are usually placed with either parent or guardian, you know, if they came in with one. And most of the time, it's with, you know, the mothers or the women guardian at the Women Facilities Building. However, once they turn 13, they usually move to adult facilities based on their gender. And this only means one thing, right? You know, when you get moved to an adult facility, you get treated like adults. So there's been reports even stating that these children are not detained with their family members, even in adult facilities, but rather with strangers. So I think it's really concerning because, you know, imagine you're a kid being surrounded by random men or women in a cell that you don't know. And I think what's extremely concerning as well is that a lot of these dependent facilities are not equipped to house children. So some of them, you know, we've been told that have a basic nursery, you know, those kind of nurseries with like a tiny plastic playground. But that's really about it, right? And based on stories that, you know, I've been told by detainees that we've worked with over the years, a lot of times they are often locked up in cells without access to recreational space, educational facilities, and even adequate healthcare.
And so for the children who are separated from their parents or guardians, who's actually playing the role of advocating for them?
So there's currently a lot of, there's several NGOs around advocating for these children. I mean, you know, we do a lot of advocacy work in looking into detention, children in detention. But there's also, you know, incredible organizations like Lawyers for Liberty, Yayasan Childcare, Tenaga Nita, and International Detention Coalition. They're actively working on negotiations and policies to look into alternatives for children in detention.
And I suppose we do need to ask, how does detention like this affect children?
I guess many studies have shown that separating children from their parents or guardians over a prolonged period of time can trigger extreme stress responses on the body, which results in additional impact on their health and development. There's been countless studies across the globe, you know, that have shown resounding findings, which imply severe long-term effects on a child's physical, mental, and social well-being and developmental health when detained. It's been shown that those with significant trauma exposure prior to detention experience greater risk of these effects. And as we know, a lot of these children detained are refugees and asylum seekers who have come from war-torn countries who have already experienced severe trauma in that sense, right? So with all these findings accumulated, you know, one can only imagine the anguish and agony the children are currently experiencing in detention centres where they have been penalised for seeking a safe space.
So in your conversations with affected families, what thoughts and feelings have they shared on children being detained?
Yeah, so we often work very closely with families who have, you know, family members detained, you know, or detainees that have came out of detention centres. A lot of them are extremely afraid. You know, many, you know, since being detained, don't even dare leave their house and they only leave, you know, when it's absolutely necessary. We've met kids and families who've been detained. And till today, many of them still suffer from severe PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, recounting the experiences in detention facilities. You know, sometimes, you know, I get calls at 3, 4 a.m. in the morning because they get nightmares, you know, of their time in detention centers. And these nightmares are not just, you know, nightmares that you can shrug off and go back to sleep, but this PTSD impacts them in very severe ways. It's crazy because, you know, over the years, I've seen complete grown adults break down just recounting their experiences in detention centers. And these are grown men, you know, in their 40s, in their 50s. And sometimes, you know, it is even receiving calls, you know, from my students telling me that, like, my mother went out for work today and she got detained, you know, what can you do about it? And honestly, we can try to work, you know, with UNHCR and different parties to get them out, but it is an extremely long process, you know, and a lot of times these children have to go for months without even seeing their parents.
And at this point in time, what other avenues do these families have for mental and emotional support?
Yeah, I think so. There are currently, you know, a few organizations looking into providing, you know, mental health support and counseling just to kind of process their experiences in detention centers and just, you know, trauma, I guess, from having to flee a war-torn country. So I think at the moment, NGOs are, you know, actively looking into holistic support, right? Not just, you know, getting you out of detention centers, but helping you cope with the aftermath of it all.
So have you spoken to immigration officers as well, and how do they feel about the issue?
Yeah, so we recently had the privilege of working a little bit more closer with some immigration officers because the organization has been bringing supplies into detention centers, just basic essentials because of the rise of COVID cases within there, right? And I would think that, I mean, from our interactions, that they are actually, they find, they want to help, right? They know that what's happening is not okay inside, but yet they feel that their hands are tight. And there's only so much they can do because they're really just, you know, the middleman in all of this. You know, on one hand, they have to do their jobs. On the other hand, you know, they have firsthand experiences, you know, watching the impacts of detention on children and on other people as well.
Mm. And how then do those officers relate to the detainees, especially the children?
I do think that a lot of times these officers are, I mean, they too don't think that children should be in detention centres. I mean, many of them have kids, right? So they are actively trying to find ways to, I don't know, maybe improve situation in detention centres based on what they can control. This means, you know, maybe access, a bit more access to milk powder. You know, that's why they partner up with organisations like us to bring in supplies, you know. Or, you know, we've recently been allowed to bring in a bit more toys, you know, because these kids are extremely deprived from things that children should have access to. So I do feel that they are trying, but again, they are in a very difficult position.
And does the pandemic further complicate the situation?
Yeah, I would think that, you know, it has definitely very much further complicated the situation, right? I mean, from an increase of numbers in detention centres, not just COVID numbers, right, but new people being, you know, put in detention centres every single day, you know, and this is on a daily basis, you know, to the rise in COVID cases, meaning it to be more difficult for those who have served their time in detention centres to be released because it's a long process, right? All these detention centres now have very high COVID cases. Yeah, so I feel that it has definitely, you know, further complicated the situation. It's made it a lot harder for NGOs and parties involved to also negotiate the release of children in detention because, you know, now you have to think about the spread of the pandemic. Now you have to think of, you know, the COVID cases. Yeah, so it's made it extremely hard, you know, and it's also very concerning because, you know, with these young kids in detention centers, a lot of times the immune systems are compromised, right? Given the health pandemic, a lot of them are more susceptible to picking up different, you know, diseases. And how do we even protect young kids from that when they don't have very strong immune systems?
So to your knowledge then, what are some past and ongoing efforts which aim to improve living conditions?
Yeah, so back in 2018, the then Deputy Minister, Dr. Wan Azizah, confirmed that the Women's Ministry and Home Ministry, led by Muhyiddin, was going to execute a pilot project to move hundreds of children out of detention centres into NGO shelters. So that has not quite taken off yet, because of everything that has happened this year. But that was one of the things that, you know, that was actively being worked on, not just by the Women's Ministry and the Home Ministry, but as well as in partnership with quite a number of NGOs as well as SLAKAM.
And would you know if there has been progress when it comes to developing alternatives to detention for children?
Not quite in Malaysia. So we still have not progressed much in developing alternatives to detention for children. But I think for me, it's always really helpful to look at what other countries are doing. And one of it would be the Indonesian government, right? For instance, children are now placed in community housing instead of detention centres. You know, when we look at Japan, you know, Japan no longer detains children, refugees or asylum seekers. But in fact, the government will try its very best to not detain these children by looking for people who care for them. So yeah, there are other countries that have been actively looking into developing alternatives to children in detention, but not quite Malaysia as yet. We do, I mean, I believe that NGOs and, you know, respective parties like SLAKAM and the UNHCR are doing their utmost best, but there are so many limitations in place. And that's why I think what's really helpful now is that every time a child refugee or an asylum seeker gets detained, UNHCR prioritizes speeding up the process of registration for the children if they are a person of concern, just so that they can negotiate their release in that sense.
And Heidi, before you go, what are your hopes for Children's Day?
It's Children's Day today, and my main thoughts are children should not be criminalised for immigration offences, and they shouldn't be penalised for crimes beyond their control, you know, which is seeking safety in a country, you know, after having flee war and persecution. I think we all need to remember to be an embodiment of compassion, empathy and kindness, especially when it comes to children. We should not normalise trauma, pain and suffering for these children who have already seen and experienced more than any child should.
Heidi, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Heidi Kwa, founder and director of Refuge for the Refugees, discussing the experiences that children have had in detention here in the country. If you'd like to weigh in, do get in touch. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.